God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So this morning, we are going to be focused on spiritual recovery. Bob's going to talk for a little while, and then Lauren and I are going to do a couple experiential things with you, a couple little activities to hook us up with our higher power in different ways, and then we'll have a little break, and then we'll do a closing circle. Okay. So with that, I'll pass the mic over to Bob.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, I'm Bob. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Bob.
I'm grateful to be with you today. Spiritual recovery. Well, first thing I can think of is that if I can't find my higher power in a beautiful place like Seattle and the mountains that we're in and the beautiful place that we're in, I have issues. I'm grateful to say that I do have a higher power today, and I'm grateful to say that he is with me right now, even as I'm speaking here. So I guess I want to ask first, is anyone having trouble identifying with a higher power? Anybody? Yeah. If you're willing to share that, please raise your hand. Is anybody having trouble connecting with their higher power? And, you know, for me, it's from time to time, there is issues with connecting with my higher power. I have to reflect on why that is, and most of the time it's just simply that I'm exerting my will more than I'm seeking God's will. I'm not taking the proper time in the proper way, and I'm letting the things of my daily life clutter my relationship with my higher power and blocking me from Him. And I have a way to change that. It's just, is there the willingness there to do that? So I know now that I live in a spiritual world, but that's where I am now. But so much of my life, I was caught up in the material world, and the things, my life was about things. And it was about money to get those things. It was about the new gadget I could have, electronics, whether it be a new computer. And I longed for these things. I longed for the career. I longed for, the jobs, the new electronic game system, the ability to have enough money to go to concerts and to go to this game and, the baseball game or whatever it was. I wanted the nice car. I wanted the house. I wanted the ability to go on whatever vacation that I wanted to go on. And that was my focus. And I've learned through the years that it isn't about that anymore. It's about that I can live very simply and I can live very happy. I'm still in the same starter house that I am in now, and I don't always like that. But I've been in that home since 1995, and I realize that while it's a small home, it's a home, and I can make, it's the difference between a house and a home. I can really make that home be what it is, and it's more about what's inside of the home, meaning it's inside of me and the family, and am I treating my family? Or am I really treating it as an object, or a status symbol? So I don't need to seek that status symbol anymore. That, believe it or not, as simple as it sounds, was a huge part of my recovery. That I realized that I am a spiritual being and not just a material one. That I'm not in this world to, step over people, and also to get bigger and better. And in fact, I found the rewards of just toning it all back down to be a more simple person. I'm more simple in my eating today, and I'm more simple in my lifestyle today. And that's an okay thing. I used to think that that was wrong, that there was not, it was not a good thing, that you know, that you had to you know, look at the Joneses and see what they're doing and try to make sure you're keeping up with them. I don't need to do that today, because I know that that's not important, as important as it was to me anymore. So I told you, God bless you, I told you that my sponsor had inner peace, and I had no idea how to get it. To talk about my higher power a little, my higher power is God. I had a relationship with God ever since, you know, I went to a Catholic school, you know, and I was around religion all the time, but I didn't know God. I prayed to God for things. I prayed to God to heal my cuts and my wounds, and I prayed to God to that this person wouldn't die or my cat or dog wouldn't die. I prayed for those type of things. I was always praying in a way that God give me this, God give me this, God give me this. And that's how my relationship with God was, and I blamed God when I lost a loved one. And I was always, that's how my relationship with God was. It was never in a way that I was always looking to Him for something. I was not ever, you know, doing anything to thank God for those things, unless I was told to do that, which I was told to in my education when I was growing up. So I did not have a give and take relationship with my higher power. And that kind of set the stage. In fact, as most of you have maybe had a relationship with God in the past, it was a very fearful one. You know, that if I did anything wrong, that God would punish me. You know, that I would not be in His good graces. And that was made me very fearful. I lost touch with God. I would still go to church. Would go to church every Sunday, but I lost touch with God in my college years, and as I grew up, it was not in a way that I had a healthy relationship with God. And I mentioned before that my higher power was not God during that time. It was money, you know. It was definitely food, and it was tough for me to admit that, because even in program, I didn't want to admit that I actually, you know, had that issue. But I did. I really didn't look to God as my primary source of what I needed to fulfill my life at that time. And that's what I had to determine, you know, when I came in the program, what is really important in my life now. So truly it was when my sponsor said he had inner peace, I was like, how in the world do you have that? You know, and he said, because I didn't understand it, because I was always about running around all the time, and, you know, I had to do this, I had to do that, I had to do this, and I had to do that, and it was all about the had-tos, and it was never about reaching inside and trying to understand who I was and what my needs were spiritually. It was never about that. It was always, I have to do this, I have to go to church, I have to go to work, you know, I have to, you know, put food on the table. That's kind of really basically when you put it down to it. And then all the ego things that I had, I want this and I want that and I want that. And that was my life. I didn't know, you know, what truly, I was all about. I was confused. So when somebody had peace, that, you know, that was major for me. So I was basically, in awe of him. And you know, while you don't want to say, you know, put anybody on a pedestal, I at least said I got to have what he's got. So that was enough for me to start working the steps. And as I started going through the steps, I look at, there's a lot of things in the big book which come out. Going through the first three steps, you know, willingness. Is as you've heard, willingness is the key. But in the first three steps, you have willingness equaling the foundation, believing being the cornerstone, and decision being the keystone. So between that, I'm setting the foundation. I'm setting the cornerstone on which to build the rest of my home. And then the deciding factor of whether I wanted to turn my will and my life over to my higher power being the keystone decision in my life. So it starts back, though, with, and I'm looking at charts that we used in our five-week step, big back-to-basic study. It's called the road chart to your decision. You know, it talks about the physical allergy and the mental obsession, and that is the problem. And the problem is not just that, but it's your lack of power. I'm powerless. So step one starts with that basic premise. So where do I find the power? You know, and step two is saying, okay, the fellowship is going to help me find that power. Other people in the rooms talk about their spiritual experiences and that there is a God in their lives and a higher power in their lives. So that to me gave me the evidence that I needed that there was a higher power out there. And I needed to hear that because their higher power wasn't the same as my higher power. They had a pretty much, you know, they had a higher power that really was doing things in their lives and that they turned to. I didn't turn to my higher power, especially when it came to food. I believe that food was such a little thing that it wasn't all that big of a deal. That there were so many other things that God had to deal with in his lives, you know, famine, earthquakes, you know, tornadoes, all these type of natural disasters. Well, how could food be a natural disaster? And as you well know, and I know now too, yes, it is. It is huge. It is major in the lives of many. And so that is, you know, something that I was able to really embrace, that say, you know what, it's okay to turn to God for your, for help with food, you know. So the power is out there. And then really the turning point is a decision. While it's only a decision, a major decision in my life, but it was only a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. You know, and then the work actually began after that. So, and what I like about this chart, it says, okay, here's your turning point. Here's do you believe or don't you believe? You know, if you don't believe, you continue to eat destructively and you go toward insanity and death, or you believe and you accept spiritual help and sanity and recovery. And then saying the third step prayer, you know. That God, I offer myself to Thee to build with me and to do with me as Thou will. And the beginning of that just means so much to me. You know, I'm offering myself to me. I'm giving my life to You. You know, to build with me and to do with me as Thou will. You know, to build with me, which means from scratch. You know, and that's something that I didn't quite understand at the time when I was saying it, and now I do. You know, that the willingness has to be there to allow Him to change me. And as I went through the steps, I understood that quite a bit more. So I had to think about what was blocking me from God. So I've heard a lot of people share this, is that, you know, God has never left me all throughout my life. And I didn't really understand that. But as I kept working the program, I finally realized that God loves me no matter what. He has an unconditional love for me. And that love comes through other people, and that love comes within me. When I found that, I finally understood that I had all this clutter, not just in my outside world, but within my heart and within my soul. So the program helped me get all of that junk, crap, whatever you want to call it, out from within me. And I equate it to the driving in a car and you're driving and you're off-roading, if you want to call it, with mud splattering on your windshield and just splattering and splattering. That was my life. I was going through this mud bog and all this stuff was coming on my windshield, blocking me from God. And then finally, when program came, I was able to turn on the windshield wipers, you know, and wash it clean. And when I did that, God was right on the other side and stronger than ever and telling me, I'm here for you and I've never ever left you. I'm so glad you found me. And all you had to do was ask. All you had to do was ask for help. And that's when I asked for help. That's when he was there. You know, when a student is ready, the teacher appears. So I was ready to accept his help. I finally surrendered to God. And it says in our literature, the more total our surrender, the more our spiritual experience. So the more I was ready to surrender him and saying, God, you got all of me. You got everything. And I didn't really understand what I was saying at the time, but that's what I truly meant it. And page 77 of the big book says, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people around us. Wow. When I'm reading the big book, there's so many things that come out, so many spiritual experiences, psychic changes. When I read that, I was like, wow, that's my real purpose? You know, it's not just to be maximum service to God and other people, but to fit myself in there. You know, so now I have to actually work at it because it's not going to come naturally. So I got to fit myself in here and say, okay, this is now part of my life, you know. But to be of maximum service to God, that's not what I was doing before when I was trying to find, you know, relate to a God who I didn't really understand. You know, now I'm being of maximum service to God and to other people around me. And that's a beautiful way to live. So I read things like that and other books outside of OA to really determine what my life was all about. And I told you when I lost the weight and I lost my, you know, gave my defects over to God, I didn't know who I was. So I had to embrace something. So I embraced quotes like that from the big book. And I embraced the ability to say, okay, I can be a wonderful person in God, in the eyes of God. That's who I want to be. You know, and I want to help other people, but I need to help myself first. I need to be abstinent. And I need to treat that with such an unbelievable, you know, dignity and grace, you know, and say that it's such an important thing of my life now. I got to protect my abstinence. And if I protect my abstinence, then I can have a life. If I protect my abstinence, then I can be a husband and a father. If I put even my family before my abstinence, I will lose them. And I didn't understand that until I came in the program. And if I put anything before my higher power, I will lose them. And that I also realized, you know. So that was important for me to realize that. So I can live in the present, and I can be of maximum service to other people, and I can be abstinent as long as I remain in fit spiritual condition, which it also says in the big book. And I didn't know what that meant either. But I know that I had to keep working the program in order to find out what that really meant, you know. So connecting with my higher power on a daily basis is something I absolutely need to do. Someone, I don't know where I heard it, but someone told me this, and I've worn out my big book ever since. On page 86 to 88, I was starting my day. And it's a beautiful way to start my day. This is a guide, you know, absolutely is a guide. This is part of the 11th step, but it is something that I use in my daily meditation and prayer. You know, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. Okay, that, I was looking for something, right? It tells me right here what to do. You know, I get on my knees and I say, you know, God, I ask you to direct my thinking, especially as to be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. You know, later on it talks about in thinking about our day, you know, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Now here I ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision. And we relax and take it easy. You know, God's going to take care of this. You know, as I go throughout the day, you know, show me what my next step should be. You know, that we'd be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. You know, we especially ask for freedom from self-will and careful to make no requests for ourselves only. I follow all these things, and my day can be that simple. And it even says if I'm having trouble, you know, something happens at work, and it gets someone gets in my head. You know, as I go throughout the day, help me to pause when I get agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, Thy will be done. And it says here, we don't tire so easily if we do those things. In my head, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this was all the clutter was in my head. I was exhausted by the end of the day. Now I don't feel that way. Now I'm not exhausted anymore, you know. So that is a beautiful way for me to start my day. You know, I also have other prayers that I start my day. I use my journal in many ways, and other people have, you know, do like it. I love it. You know, it's a wonderful thing. But I start the day not only with the third step and the seventh step prayer, but I started with this prayer, which I'm not even sure where it came from, but the first thing that I say is that, who am I and what am I doing? I'm a food addict and I want to recover. To that end, my job today is to trust God, clean house, and help others. I am powerless over food and my life was unmanageable until I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Today I humbly turn my will and my life, my will, my thinking, and my actions, my whole life, over to the care of God and protection, care and protection of my higher power. So I pray that each morning. Obviously, it takes me through the first three steps very quickly. But it is something. But I love the question, who am I and what am I doing? Because sometimes I just don't know, and I got to say, okay, I'm a food addict and I want to recover. That's how I start. Very basic. That's how my day is. So I give thanks a lot to God. I told you before that I asked Him for everything. Now I start and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank Him for everything. And it's funny, you know, the parking space opens up, you know, right? You know, it's like, wow, thanks, God. You know, the very simple things that happen in life, you know, seeing a rainbow. I mean, whatever it is, you know, seeing the mountains outside of this facility. It's just beautiful. You know, anything that I see that, you know, now reminds me of God, where... Before? No way. That's not what I was thinking about. I was like, okay, you know, that's a great thing. That's really nice. Let me take a picture of it, you know. Now I don't need to do those type of things, you know. So I have trouble making decisions, as you may well as do as well. So I am able to ask God now to help me make those decisions. So what I do, though, and a sponsee, you learn so much from your sponsees. A sponsee told me this, and I was like, wow, that's a pretty good idea. It says, very simply, ask God to increase my desire or decrease my desire about this certain issue. So, and just keep praying it and saying, God, if it's your will that I do this, increase my desire or decrease my desire. To be quite honest, when I came out here, it was one of the prayers that I was saying. Increase my desire to come out and lead this workshop in Seattle, or decrease my desire. You know, that is a very easy way to have God, you know, interact with your life on a daily basis. I told you I pray the alphabet, and that's something that's important to me. Being service to others can be doing it in many ways. You know, you can be a sponsor to them, you can talk to them, call them on the phone, you can do little things for them. Biggest thing I find that I can do for other people these days is pray. So, and I pray for them even though I, you know, they don't even know I'm praying for them, which is even better. You know, and once in a while, if I do see them, I say, "Oh yeah, you're the second Lauren that I pray for." You know, so kind of like that was pretty funny when I told them that. I was like, "You're like, you pray for me?" I was like, "Yeah, I pray for you." So so when I go through the alphabet, I just go through names. I go through names, and what's beautiful about it is I can envision, you know, a lot of the people, their faces, as I go through the alphabet. So if you're looking for something to embrace, you know, maybe it's something. It's just something that just came to me one day to start doing, you know, because I at the end, when I end my day, you know, I pray for certain people, and you know, maybe who might be sick or needing help or maybe in relapse. And that's kind of, I think, how it all started. You know, it was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, I started praying. When I'm trying to think of somebody's name, that's what I do too. It's like, I can't remember their name. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, C. Boom, oh yes, it's Faith. That's her name. You know, it's funny that, you know, that's how it all came to be maybe. But, you know, that's what I do. And I think it's important to pray for other people. And it's a wonderful, thing for me to do. I have issues with financial insecurity. I have issues with fear and procrastination. These are things that come up pretty much daily. But I've learned that what's important is to trust God, and that is, especially with the fears in my life, because even coming out here was fear. But I know that God has a purpose for my life now. I don't always know what that is, and that's kind of the fun thing about it. I can't really say, you know, what He's got in mind for me, but I know that it's good. I know it's a lot better than what I was doing before. Let me put it that way. So I know that if I can put my hands in the care of God, you know, one of the prayers I do each morning is, now that might come back to me. I do want to say one of the most important things I did as a family was to pray. So how I end my day with my family is to get on our knees and pray together. And that has been a wonderful gift in our family. So that's how I brought program to them as well. So we pray our prayers, and we pray for each other, we pray for the world, we pray for whatever it is. And it's just a beautiful way. What was cute, we would pray when we were at home. My wife and I would pray pray before meals. And we started that, and we kept doing that even when the kids were growing. But it was only at home. And the kids really caught on to that, obviously. And then one day, our three-year-old were at McDonald's. And in the gym area, or the jumping gym and everything, it's louding and screaming, and they're ready to eat. And getting ready to start eating, and he says, "Wait, what about prayers?" And I said, "Wow." So my three-year-old taught me something. Ever since then, wherever we are, we pray. I didn't pray, you know, when I was by myself. I only prayed at home, you know, I didn't even pray at home unless the family was around. Now I pray when I'm by myself, the kids pray when they're by themselves, and we pray when we're wherever we are. And we've had so many people come up to us and say thank you. Thank you for showing an outward expression in public, you know, and praying before meals. And it was like, wow, that was amazing for me to witness. You know, just a couple of quick God stories. I know God's in my life. Sometimes it's like, He's definitely here. You know, I was in an organization, and we had a softball game that we were going to go play. And I met these people the week before, and they wanted to join the organization. It was a community service group that we were in. And I invited them to come to the softball game. And they were like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. We'll come and play. So we get there, we start playing. The mayor of the town was a former member of this organization. He came out and played too. And he was a second base, and he went, ball was hit in the air, and he went back to catch it, and he fell back, hit his head, and he was unconscious. The two people that I invited the week before just so happened to meet in coincidence said, I'll be right back. They're EMTs. They have all their stuff, the gear in their car. They saved his life. Chills. I got chills because that's what happened. I was like, I looked and I said, God, whew, thank you, God. So that was just quick God stories. I don't have that much time. So the other is I told a few of you that my son is a member now of the Philadelphia Boys Choir. My youngest, he's 10 years old. We found out from his teacher that his music teacher that he has a beautiful voice and he might have a gift, and maybe we should look into do something, maybe looking into the Philadelphia Boys Choir. So we were like, wow, really? We were very unsure. In the newspaper there was an upcoming concert, which just happened to be right the next town over, you know, and there was no cost. It was a free will offering. We're like, okay, that sounds good. So we decided that we were going to go. We hadn't told our son yet about the possibility of him having a gift of a voice. So we went and we just simply just listened. Well, I've been to many concerts since, and I haven't heard this since, that the conductor, the director said, at intermission, we're going to have an audition for boys, just in case they might be interested in joining the Philadelphia Boys Choir. My son, who we hadn't told yet that he had the gift of voice, looks at me and shakes his head and says, could I do that? Long story short, he auditioned and they said to come back for a full audition later, and he did join the Philadelphia Boys Choir at that time. So, it's, you know, and he's going to China in August for the first time with the Boys Choir. So I mean, he's having a fabulous time. We're having a fabulous time with it. God is truly, you know, truly amazing. One thing I do want to say is that God gives me grace and peace today. And I can start my day out with grace and peace. But when I walk out the doors and go to work, I don't always hold on to that peace. And there is a lot of times in my day where people try to steal that peace from me. And I kind of look at it that way. I got peace inside of me. God's given me that peace. Other people are trying to take that from me. And I have a choice. I have a decision that I need to make each day. Am I going to let those people grab a piece of that piece, take that piece from me and take it from me? It's where I want to give my power to during the day. Do I want to give my power to my higher power, or do I want to give my power to someone else? Because that's what I'm doing when I'm letting them get in my head, when I'm letting them take my peace away from me. I'm giving that power to them. It's not them taking anything from me, really. It's me giving them the power to let them take it away from me. Because there's so many times in my life where 5 minutes prior, I'm absolutely filled with peace. Then someone walks in the door with a crisis situation that I have to run to and make it my business, when I could just simply say no. But if I take that in, it's me actually giving it the power. I could just deflate it. I could say, treat it differently. And the program has helped me with that. You know, there are ways that I can work things through. But a lot of the times I used to just say, all my peace would be thrown out the window in a second, and I'd take that on, and then I would just be nuts for the rest of the day. And I would say, what happened? Well, it was back at that decision point, that when I had to make that decision and I gave my full power, my peace, to that other situation instead of keeping it for my higher power. I had many more things I wanted to share, but you know what? I said what I needed to say. So when I say I need to clean house, it means I need to work the steps. And I'm grateful to say that I'm able to do that. I believe I am a miracle. And I believe all of you are miracles. And I believe that we do have to expect miracles in our lives. That is important for me to say. It's also important to say that God is the most important thing in my life without question. And He gives me that abstinence. I also realize that I used to think that I needed my wife and my children more than God. And I told you before, I can't put anything before God. I also learned from the big book is that God has given me everything I have. So anything material is useless without God. God has given me this world. He's given me my car. He's given me my house, my job. And He's even given me my wife and my children. And I have to be willing to give them to Him as well, which is crazy thinking, I know, but I finally understand that, you know, that I am here as a child of God, and He's given me everything, and everything is on loan to Him. And when I started realizing that's what it was, that everything I have is really His, and I'm leasing it from Him, and eventually it's all going to go back, including me, to Him, that made a lot of sense to me, you know? So that's been a great thing for me. Acceptance of my life as, you know, as a child of God, and that I'm not any better or any worse than anybody else, has really been a good thing for me to know and hear. And I won't read acceptance to you, but I love reading that, 4:17 in the big book. I will read the end of 164 to you today. And that is a beautiful way. I've heard people end meetings that way, so I'd like to close my talk with you with that. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. And by praying, I believe that I can do that. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him, your higher power, is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.